Okay, so I am Tom Smiley. I'm from the Bartlett Tree Expert Company, the research lab in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I'm going to be giving a little bit of an overview on tree risk assessment and some of the things that are happening with regard to tree risk assessment, a lot of changes in the recent past. Certainly we enjoy trees. Trees are an attractant. People appreciate trees and value their importance. But there is another side to trees that we do have to consider. As they get larger, they can develop defects. They're more exposed to wind, wind loading, ice loading, snow, and we see more failures. And any time that that load exceeds the strength of the structure, we can have tree failures. But we need to manage a risk that trees present when we're dealing with public areas. And what I'm going to be talking mainly about today is a procedure that the International Society of Arboriculture has developed. We consider it a best management practice for managing trees, especially those in public areas. So this is developed based on national standards, international standards of risk, and other publications. And we sort of boiled those down into this best management practice for tree risk assessment. First off is our definition of risk, which is the combination of the likelihood of an event and the severity of the potential consequences. So what would the event be that we're talking about here?
Lightning.
Lightning could be a risk factor. What other ones? Any?
High
winds, right, could cause a tree failure. So that's actually half of the event. So half of the event is the tree failing. The other half is hitting something. So it's a combination of that failure and impact, and then it's combined with the consequences. So there are many different ways of doing this. We have chose sort of a simple way of doing this, using two matrices that put these together. First is the likelihood of failure with the likelihood of impact, and then combining that with the consequences of that tree failure. When we're looking at trees, we typically start by assessing that likelihood of failure. We do this by knowing the tree failure profiles, the defects that affect tree strength, the loads that trees are exposed to, and the response growth that trees can develop. We categorize that likelihood of failure in one of four terms: imminent, probable, possible, or improbable. And here's what those look like. Improbable is trees that are not likely to fail even under severe weather conditions. Possible is trees that could fail, but unlikely during normal weather conditions, but we might expect their failure during high weather. And the weather conditions are, of course, dependent on the area where you're located. Then we have probable. And these trees we would expect to fail under normal weather conditions. And imminent means they could fail at any time. So failure has started in the case of things like cracks or, say, dead branches we think are going to come down very soon. So we start with the likelihood of failure, and then we go to our likelihood of impact. And this means if that tree were to fail, would it impact what we consider a target? And there are many different targets that we consider. People are, of course, number one. And that depends on the occupancy rate of the area under the tree architecture, the defect location, storm, wind, direction, protective factors, things like that. And again, we have four words for likelihood of impact: very low, low, medium, and high. And here's what they look like. So the impact of the tree on the left, the likelihood of impact of the tree on the left hitting a person on that trail, we would consider very low because there aren't many people on that trail. The dead branch could fall, very likely to fall, but the likelihood of hitting a person is very low because there aren't going to be people underneath it. Moving up the scale, likelihood of impact is low. In this case, that tree could fall basically in any direction, and only about a quarter of those directions are toward the road, and it's a low-use road. So we consider the likelihood of impacting a car as being low. Medium means that it may or may not impact the target. In this case, if our target is the house, the tree may fall toward the house or it may fall away from the house, with sort of likely or with equal likelihood. And finally, our likelihood of impact high means that the tree is very likely to hit our target. In this case, we're looking at the leaning tree over a busy downtown street, and not just that, but we hold traffic under that tree for extended periods of time with that traffic light. So we will then combine those two likelihood factors into one. So we look at our four words for likelihood of failure and our four words for likelihood of impact. In this case, I'll choose probable for likelihood of failure and medium for likelihood of impact. And we simply go across and down the table and come up with another word, which is somewhat likely. So we're just going to grab that word and we'll come back to it in another minute. But first off, we have to go through consequences. So consequences, what we say here is, if that tree fails, if it hits the target, what is going to be the consequence of that event occurring? So this is based on the value of the damage that will be done, how much harm or disruption is caused by that failure, and a number of factors that we'll look at. What are the targets? How susceptible are they to harm? What's the size of our tree part? How far is that fall distance for acceleration reasons? And are there any protective factors? And again, here are four words. First off, negligible, low value property damage, personal injury unlikely. Consequences here, if that branch were to fail, it would very likely hit a car, but the consequences would be medium to low. We have a little bit of car damage, and again, personal injury is unlikely. Moving up the scale to significant, moderate to high property value damage, people could be injured. So we have a fairly large tree over a relatively small house. We would expect some pretty significant damage to that house if it were to fail, or possibly crush that bug in the front yard. And then severe consequences, high value property damage, or somebody could be killed or severely injured by a tree failure. So again, going back to our second table, we have our word from the first table, which was somewhat likely, and we'll select our consequences. In this case, we'll say significant, and again, where they meet, will bring us to our level of risk. And in this case, it's moderate. You can see that the table is fairly skewed toward one level of risk, which is
low.
Low, very good. So Brian here mentioned lightning. Do you know how many people in the United States are killed per year by lightning? Or anyone in the room?
14.
It's about 75 to 100. Does anyone know how many people are killed by falling trees in the United States per year? It's about 35. So worst case scenario is that you're twice as likely to be killed by lightning as you are by a falling tree. And certainly anyone who is killed, it's a tragedy. But the reason that the majority of these cells are low is because the majority of trees that we deal with have a very low risk. And then we have more moderate, high, and very few extreme risk trees out there. But there are certainly some, and we'd want to take care of them as soon as possible. So this best management practice, if you want to learn more about tree risk assessment, is available through the International Society of Arboriculture. Their website, isa-arbor.com. And I have a few minutes left if there are any questions. Yes, ma'am.
You mentioned under the first category, species failure profiles.
Yes.
Where do you get those?
Oh, yes. That's a very difficult thing to find. So we know that trees have failure profiles. That is, they tend to fail in the same pattern over time. There are two places that you can find that. The first place is a project in California called the California Tree Failure Reporting Program, which you can Google and find, and they have listed failure profiles for some California trees. That program about 10 years ago was expanded by the U.S. Forest Service internationally, and that program is called the International Tree Failure Program. And again, if you put in International Tree Failure, you should be able to come up with their website. Their database of about, I believe, 6,000 trees is downloadable. So if you're a researcher and want to look at reported tree failures, that is available to you free of charge. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, well, thank you for attending this session, and we are finished on time, so you will be able to make lunch. Thank you.